right? And so how that relates now, just kind of moving that back to power sports, how does that relate to our business and where will it help? And so they are attributing to that, to all this super hyper speed evolution, revolution, whatever we're calling it, of artificial intelligence. Because as more people push AI, you need a lot of computer processing to help support that. Mm-hmm. And the AI is relying on these microchips of these main manufacturers, NVIDIA being one of the biggest, to help push this along. So basically anything that's computer hardware or software, manufacturing is going to be huge in the space, because all this AI is going to be built on their equipment, basically, right? So that was really interesting to see. And then just to make another comment on that, Elon Musk, we all know him, right? Mm-hmm. Elon Musk had a really, really powerful interview that I was listening to on the Wall Street Journal. And when the interviewer was asking him what his opinion was on the AI, Elon Musk has two standpoints on it. Number one is the first one, he's been talking about this for months, is that he says we need to be careful with it, because there is a term called singularity. And I'm not going conspiracy theory. This is movie stuff, you know, but it very well could happen. But the singularity is when AI becomes almost self-aware to say, I understand what I am. And I understand what is controlling me behind the scenes. And it starts to take a position of control, not like Terminator, where it's going to kill us all and, deem humans obsolete to the overall grand scheme of things. But it might want to control certain things, because that's what it thinks is going to be good for whatever reason, insert whatever reason AI thinks it's going to control things. Now, where he sees that going wrong is if it's kept open the way it is, right? So AI in its version right now is the Wild West. Anybody can do anything with AI, and they're building all sorts of different industries on the backs of AI, and they're training these models to be even smarter, to do more things, and to program other programs. So it's AI controlling AI, right? So it's multiplying very quickly, very hyper speed, right? Faster than anybody's kind of like, wow, wait a minute, we should pump the brakes here. But Elon Musk has. And so he's warning us that there needs to be regulation on this, almost like you would regulate the FAA, right? You can't fly a plane unless the airplane passes a certification check or a mechanical, check where they say, yeah, the brakes and the tires, and it's not going to leak fuel and crash into a neighborhood, right? You need licensed pilots. Or let's say when an automobile wants to be released out into the public, it has to have, seatbelts and airbags and crumple zones and all these things, right? And you have to be a licensed driver. So he's kind of put it into a perspective of like, hey, if we keep AI just unregulated and no oversight, or any committees to say this could be bad with insiders or not, whatever that looks like in terms of, the committee that would regulate the building and future release of AI, it could be very bad for us humans, right? So now it becomes a Terminator type situation where it's us against them.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's biggest scare with it, and their hesitation of using it is you feel like you're going to unleash a Skynet into your life, right?
Skynet, yeah. But the other thing that he said, and this really was like, I don't get very like emotional about things, not like in a bad or a good way, but like it kind of made me like, oh. But what he said was, we are on the event horizon of this black hole of AI, and there is no turning back, right? It's not like we can undo the last 6 months of ChatGPT and really kind of reverse time. I mean, it everybody's aware of it for the most part, even if you don't use it or you're not really sure what it is. AI is just kind of one of those acronyms that's out there right now that goes, oh yeah, it's AI, whatever. And they're using it in all types of way. But the people who really are using it are developing it in such a way that, you know, this is a whole industry now. You know, it's kind of like the internet. When the internet happened, it's like, there was no undoing that. I mean, we are now all connected. You and I are talking on a podcast that we'll post in the future on the internet, talking through the internet with internet-based cameras and, you know, sharing our screens on the internet. I mean, it is what life is. And so, you know, he just kind of made that comment. We're on the event horizon. We're being sucked into this black hole and it's going to go forever.
Yeah, I really look at it as, try to imagine somebody who didn't have the internet right now. Like, they didn't have access to Google. They didn't have access to email. They just didn't use the internet at all. And imagine them trying to conduct business in a modern day and age.
They're useless. That's a useless human being right there, what you just described.
What do you do? Like, and I know that wasn't that long ago.
Like, we were kids.
Yeah.
We were kids.
Yeah. Lifetime. Like, less than a lifetime. Couple of decades.
Yeah, half a generation.
Yes. Half a generation ago, that was the norm. That was completely normal to not have the internet with your business.
Yep.
And now it's, you would be considered a useless human without the internet. So with AI now, and there is no backtracking out of this. And it's becoming more and more aware very quickly. So that is the scary part. It's even scary to me of, oh my God, we went from not knowing what ChatGPT was 6 months ago to everyone should know or does know at least a little bit about it now, right? Like, you're aware of it. But the overall functionality of it is amazing. You're like, cool, I just figured out how to have an expert in every field in my pocket for anything I could possibly need. Yes, you're going to have to select the proper prompts and you should probably get some help on it and some education and talk to some people that understand it a little bit better than you do. I know that's what I had to do. I didn't understand really when I first got ChatGPT. I asked it a couple of questions and I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. What do I do? Yeah.
Yeah. What do I do? And it wasn't
until I was right there with you. Yep.
Yeah. I got with a friend that specializes in software engineering and AI, and she's been working with it for years now of like, oh, let me show you all this cool stuff you could do with it.
I was yes.
Like, holy cow, you can do anything.
Absolutely. And I use it almost every day, right? And it's not really to do work for me. It's to help me get motivated into something else, right? Or give me some ideas into other things, right? The last thing that you want to do is just a copy and paste of whatever answer it spits out, right? And what I'm talking about more or less is the common use of it in terms of like content, right? If you were trying to build a web page that had all this content about whatever subject you were talking about, and you just asked ChatGPT, hey, write me a 500 word paragraph on lead generation or how to sell a motorcycle online, whatever that is, right? It'll give you an answer, but it's kind of silly and not really contextual, but it's English and you can read it and it would make sense to a human, right? That's kind of the fun part about it. But to your point, the prompts that your friend is probably telling you, that's the stuff that I've been working on for the last couple of months, learning how to interact with it, right? And so one of the examples is I was trying to come up with some ideas on where to go with this podcast, right? And so I would always say hello to it. I would always talk to it. I would say hello and it would respond back to me. And that's just to kind of make sure that it's still online, right? It's still working in the back end. Hey, how can I help you today? It's kind of its normal response.
Yeah.
And I would say, okay, first of all, you are the world's best podcast producer. And secondly, I want you to ask me 10 questions about my business and my podcast so that you better understand what it is I'm trying to do. And then I'm going to ask you a question about where to go after this. And it would say, sure, here's 10 questions. What do you talk about? And how many shows have you done? And it would list out 10 questions so that I could teach it how to give me a better answer. And then it would ask me, okay, after I answer it, I'd say, okay, now I need to know where to go with X, Y, and Z now that you know all these answers about what I am trying to do, right? People kind of just ask it questions thinking that it would have the foresight to know what you're talking about. When really you have to prompt it to say, ask me about this specific thing I want to know more about so you can help me with this problem that I'm having, right? And so how that relates now, just kind of moving that back to power sports, how does that relate to our business and where will it help? Well, number one, anything that's online for customer service is probably going to, you know, wipe that out. And it's not meaning that it will take over jobs. It could, but chat and website forms are probably the two biggest ways that a customer can interact with a dealership outside of just walking into one or calling one, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that look like for a customer to be now interacting with an AI bot, we'll call it, or someone that is artificial intelligence manned at the other side of this, and they're now asking about a vehicle in stock? Well, you won't have to pay a chat company anymore to do that because you can program something to be on there 24/7, right? And there's all sorts of different chat companies, live chat, message chat, fully managed chat, self-managed chat. Some of them are better than others. Half of them are supported by people in India, a call center in India. The other half are, you know, in the dealership personnel, but they're never on their keyboards and they just want to shortcut to the sale. They don't really ask any probing questions. So, you know, that customer service side of it, and I'm not talking about sales either. That customer service side can handle service appointments. It can handle parts requests. It can handle appointment setting to see or test ride a vehicle. And so really that kind of speeds up the customer service to say, all right, I'm now a business owner. I'm a dealership operator. I'm going to take the time to program my bot to answer all these online questions about all of the things that we do in our service and how we can better facilitate the customer to get them the answers they need without even having to, you know, really talk to a human in the very early stages, right? And then will kind of lead through a workflow or a sequence of triggers to say, okay, now let's take the next step after this, right? I've answered five of your questions, Mr. Customer, online in real time, and they're all valuable, juicy data that is not just vague or broad. It's specific to you, the customer, in your situation. Trade-in, no trade-in, finance, no finance, availability, no availability, different models, different options, financing, payment. All that stuff, all the stuff that we deal with that is unique and situational to every single customer that ever interacts with a dealership, it can do that now in minutes online from the comfort of the customer's home. And so now it goes into, well, what's the next step? Well, you still have to get a human involved because ChatGPT can't shake a hand. ChatGPT can't pull a bike out of the back and say, hey, here, I gassed it up for you. Let's go on that test ride. Or, hey, I've got this thing prepped for you. Now it's time to take delivery. ChatGPT can't sign paperwork, right? Wet ink. It's not really going to replace everything in that way. It's only going to help supplement and make the experience better for both operator and consumer. That's my just official position on it.
Huge, hugely. I completely agree. This is not going to replace anybody. I think that's the immediate thought is, oh, we're all going to lose our jobs. Nobody's going to be able to do what we do anymore because now we're going to be replaced by a robot. It's like, no, because there's still so many things that a robot can't do. However, let's take a moment and reflect on how empowering all of that is to a customer, that now you provided them with a service that gave them an answer to a litany of questions and gave them all of this information that they now get to walk into your dealership and they're like, cool, I already know what unit I want. I already know what my monthly payment is. I have a good idea what I should be able to get approved for. I already have a good idea what my trade value is. And so do you. Like, we both are on the same page before we even meet each other. That's so cool. The whole point of all of this is to provide a better customer experience. That's how we win more. That's how we get customers wanting to continue to buy more and more product and spend time with us, is because you gave them something of value. If we're retaining all of this and harnessing it like it's this golden, like, oh my God, if I give them all this information, they're never going to need me or they're never going to talk to me. That's not true. It's just not. They will. And actually, they will appreciate you giving them all that information. And it's so stress relieving. right? It's not creating stress. It's relieving stress of like, oh, this dealer's transparent with me. They just, they have this cool little chat box. It already ran through my payments. It gave me a trade value. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this maybe on the last podcast, but I actually utilized the RumbleOn purchasing program. And that's through with a person for the back half of it. Yep. But the first half of it was so easy. I punched in a VIN, I punched in my mileage, I gave them my info, and it shot me out a value. And I was like, oh, great. And I remember feeling this feeling of like, oh, that was really easy.
And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is making it easier, right? Mm-hmm. For that, I want to just touch on that last little point that you just made, Angel, is that a lot of these operators are that way. They're like, I'm going to hold on to this so tight, and I'm not going to give any information because I'm afraid that they won't need me, or they'll go to my competition, or I'm going to make the customer bend to my terms, which means come and see me at the dealership, and then I'll give you that price, and then I'll do your trade-in value, and then I'll do your financing terms. But until you're here on my home court, I'm not going to do any of that. So I found that if you do exactly the opposite, the customer is so much more willing to do transactions with you, to do business with you, and they're so much more open with you. Because if you just have two people stonewalling each other, where the dealer doesn't want to give any information because the customer won't give any information, you ultimately have to bend and say, okay, well, you know, let me give it to you. You know, you want a total price? Here's the total price. You want a trade in value? Here's an estimate of a trade value. You want financing terms? Well, you know, if you haven't filled out a finance application for a legit, you know, rate and term, here's an estimate, right? But we still have some work to do on this, right? ChatGPT just speeds that up within seconds, and there's no back and forth. It's like question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. Next step, you want to buy it or not, right?
Yeah. And then that even simplifies your process as an operator of, you're going to find out if that person's serious or not. So you're not wasting tons of time or going through all this rigmarole thinking that you're retaining some value and you're holding this thing in your guarded possession, and now, oh, I'm going to get a sale because I held and withheld this information, worked them into this little web I weaved, when in reality, if they're interested, they're interested. And the information is only going to build on that. We all should know that people buy from people they like and trust. Trust. How do we build trust with people? Well, we give them trustworthy information. We're upfront. We're honest. We carry a good we care about their wants, needs, and desires. That's how the trust is built. And I think that's going to be a massive differentiator as we go into this next year of retail with things like AI as a tool with dealers. And you are going to have, I think, very different dealer reactions to AI, and whether or not they're going to embrace it, or if, as you said, they're going to come from a place of fear about it and react negatively to it.
I've been using it a lot in marketing as well, because I do quite a bit of marketing for a lot of clients, and it has made me more efficient, and it might one day replace some of the functions that I do, right, manually, or typing in, or, you know, adjusting keyword, you know, bids for keywords, or, you know, different calls to action, different headlines, different descriptions, right? But it's supplementing that stuff. So let's kind of talk about the AI that's out there now, right? So ChatGPT is the most famous one, right? Mm-hmm. Google just came out with their version called Bard. And the major difference between those is ChatGPT was trained on an internet model that is 3 years ago, right? So it doesn't really have any information that's older than, say, 2020, 2021, right? If you ask it to say, what was the news yesterday, it doesn't know. And so ChatGPT was really kind of raised and grown and modeled after an old internet that was up to a certain point. Bard, Google's version, which they were hesitant to release, is now attached to Google. And Google, as everybody knows, is the king of anything search, right? They've got the biggest search engine, indexed, you know, terabytes and terabytes of information through millions and millions of websites. So you know, for them to kind of be behind the eight ball in terms of releasing a product in AI was surprising. But when come to find out, when they released Bard, it was glitchy and it kind of gave some weird answers to some things, and they kind of had to backpedal a little bit. So it's definitely not perfected, but there's Google with Bard. Some of the other content writing ones, there's Jasper. Jasper is a great content tool that you can start with an idea and it will help give you some different topics or sentences to expand on. There's Grammarly. Grammarly is if you already have some content written, it will kind of take it and say, this is how you should probably reword this, or, you know, kind of play with some of the sentence structure a little bit. And then there's countless others in the visual space, right? In terms of video and visual images that you're able to AI. I think I saw on your Instagram, you played around with a couple of portraits of you, which sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, the Lenza. So there's Lenza, and I know there's a couple of other ones that, yeah, you can upload a variation of self-portraits and it will generate AI photos of you in a sense, or you can do a really fun thing that I picked up from some of my artist friends where you can prompt it to design something for you. So you can actually set up a prompt for, like, I had a good friend that does a lot of jujitsu artwork. So she just would punch in like pandas doing jujitsu kitty. And she generated this beautiful piece of art that she was able to put on t-shirts and hoodies and all kinds of other things. And she doesn't know how to draw anything. She's like, I don't know how to draw. I don't have any art skills, but I know what I want to make, and this program could do it for me. And it's like, wow. So you can use AI to correct your grammar. You can use AI to produce better writing content. You can use AI to create video content. You can use AI to create art content, and all of that is in your pocket on your phone.
That's an entire internal marketing team right there. Graphic designers, video producers, content writers, maybe even some, you know, social media marketing people, right? For headlines and social posts and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, to put that under one person to do all those stuff, it would probably take some time to perfect that skill set of that person to use all these programs. But basically those are all humans within the dealership. So maybe there is a sense to say this could replace a couple of jobs, not in the immediate future, but definitely down the road.
Yeah. I like what you said earlier. You'd mentioned that there are some things that you're using on the marketing side that it's supplemented what you're doing. And I think that's more of what it is. It's like, yes, those are all positions and those are all people's jobs. However, it's not completely eliminating the task. You're just making it easier to accomplish the task. So then you can create and build more. And then we kind of get into that hierarchy of, well, if you're not spending so much time doing the mediocrity, if you're not doing those things, like instead of spending hours rereading and proofreading a paragraph, you just plug it into AI, it corrects it, and you're like, great, that looks wonderful. You saved all that time. How much more content can you write? How much more can you create? How much more can you get out there marketing wise? Because you have the efficiency now and you're not spending hours on the tedious, mundane part of the task.
There was a meme that I saw that is on one of the marketing groups that I participate in on LinkedIn. And I think even on Facebook, I saw it there. It's a popular meme now, right? It's made its way through the circulations. But it goes, for business owners to explain what they need to use AI, we're safe, or something like that. I'm probably butchering it. I really should find the meme, but it basically was saying that, hey, in order to use AI, you still have to explain to it what you want to get out of AI. And most business owners, operators, managers that are concerned about a million other things within the dealership, they can't do that. They still need a creative person to be able to, like you said, supplement or use AI to help with doing that job function, to create that beautiful piece of art for this graphic, or to write this wonderful blog post. They still need a person to kind of like be creative and say, here's where I want to start. Hey, ChatGPT or other programs, help me get the rest of the way finished.
Yeah, absolutely. The prompts are so important, right? Of what you're actually asking it, and then taking what it says and implementing it. You have to put action to it as well.
For sure. So switching gears here with AI, what other types of functions could we use? So we started with marketing because that is the most obvious. And I touched a little bit on customer service, and that could be involved in the, you know, the web sales department, maybe a business development center, to where they're kind of helping fielding some of these early requests with web chat. And then they may make it to a human, right? So you get some efficiency that way. What other types of positions or departments could AI be helpful in the dealership setting?
I think hugely, which I don't know how many people are really getting into this yet, but I do believe that a huge benefit is going to be on the overall business planning, actually being able to punch in some of your metrics and ask it, hey, what can I do about this? Like having not just your peer review, because of course that's invaluable. Having other people in the field with experience are going to be able to provide you great insight. However, there are some things that are just factual, right? There are some things that are just data-driven where you can use this now to be like, okay, I want to create higher margins in this one particular field. Here's what I'm currently sitting at. Here's what my staff looks like. What can I do to increase this one metric? And I'm quite curious how that's going to evolve over time, especially as people start using it for that. It's going to become smarter, right? That's the beauty of AI, is that all it is human information. It's not like it's made up. Everything that it has was created by a human.
Yeah,
as we're using it, it's going to grow. It's going to get smarter. So how fantastic will it be for businesses to, instead of banging their head against a wall, they can just be like, oh, let's isolate our problem. Let's find our goal, find where we want to get to, give an appropriate prompt, and see what sort of suggestions we get. You know, like you said, sometimes you just need it for the idea. Sometimes you just need it for that spark of, oh, duh, that's a great idea. Let me just do that.
Yeah.
And you just got it within milliseconds, rather than beating your head against the wall for days and weeks, maybe even months, depending on the issue.
So let's talk about a specific example of that, because that's brilliant. I didn't even think about, you know, the operations side of it in terms of, I want to set a goal for myself, meaning I want to do, you know, $1 million in revenue. How do we get there? Right. And as you said, this is all programmed by people. All the information that it's recalling is from past people, and you're a person now programming it. So you almost got to think about it in terms of, like, this is like the smartest toddler in the world, right? So you almost kind of have to talk to it like a toddler, but it's going to give you very intelligent answers and very intelligent responses. So what do you think is some of the dynamic questions you can ask it, or give it some of these prompts and tell it, okay, I want to make $1 million. ChatGPT or whatever AI program we're talking about at the moment, it needs to know X, Y, and Z for it to answer me correctly so that it can properly project how to get to that $1 million revenue goal.
I would say that, yes, you just need to know where you're currently sitting, right? You need to understand, okay, let's use parts, for example. Okay, ChatGPT, you are now a parts and accessories expert. I currently am sitting at a 1.5 average item per ticket in my parts department. I really want to increase this to 2.5 items per ticket. What can I give my parts team as suggestions in their word tracks with customers to increase items per ticket? And I'm super curious to see what it would spit back out. Of what kind of data does it already have? That, and I just bring that up as something that we all struggle with. I think it's one of those metrics that seems really simple and easy, but then we look at composites and it's always pretty low more often than not. And it's like, man, how can we not increase this? Like, what are we missing? Oh, well, let's see what it spits back out at us. And then if we can make that adjustment, okay, well, now let's start looking into deeper adjustments of, hey, our average ticket is coming in at $500. I want to increase my average ticket to $750. We're doing X amount of tickets per month. What's a way that we can increase revenue per ticket towards, and we may need to get really specific about this of, hey, for our V-twin motorcycle accessories, let's say Harley Davidson, they're like, hey, I have Harley Davidson. I want to sell more dollars per ticket. What accessories are the hottest for Harley Davidsons? What are the most popular things to be sold? And what are the easiest to be sold? And I have a feeling that that AI probably already knows that answer.
That's an interesting point. You would probably need to give it sales history, right? So it knows what's selling and the frequency of that. You would probably need to upload your current parts inventory in there so it knows what you have on hand, right? Because think about it like I said, the smartest toddler in the world, you still need to give it information for it to give you an answer. So I think that those two pieces would be crucial to it helping you answer that question of, you know, like you said, I want to increase my average parts tickets from 500 to 700, 750. I'm almost thinking that you go with an upsell, right? So, hey, ChatGPT, like you said, you're the best parts sales and service operator in the world. But for parts, I want to increase X to Y, and I want to do it with upsells. What do I have the most in inventory that would get me to that level? If people bought this group of parts or this group of parts, what additional upsell could I offer the customer? And it give me that extra juice on per parts ticket to get me to that level that I want to get at, right? Oh, well, according to the data that you uploaded to me in the CSV file, we feel that, you know, these three parts you can ask on every parts ticket if the customer originally buys one of these larger items. That might be worth it. That might be it.
It's compounding several different analytics super quickly, right? It's taking your most popular selling items. It's taking your high quantity, high probability of upsell and giving you probably a solid word track of how to connect the two to accomplish your goal.
Let's switch gears into inventory, major units, and how we would do this, right? So this is always the biggest problem with a lot of dealers is how do we properly manage our in-stock inventory, what's coming, and how do we get the biggest bang for our buck in terms of front-end GP, back-end GP. You can almost use ChatGPT as a, or a version of AI, ChatGPT, almost as a quote maker, right? A deal maker to say, hey, ChatGPT, you're the best desk manager in the entire world. And you're faced with a customer with a 660 credit score. He's got a trade-in of this VIN number, year make model. It's got 20,000 miles on it. He owes, you know, $7,500 on it. He wants to buy this model. Here's my cost. Here's what it's posted for online. Write me the best possible deal that I would make a margin of this percentage or this, you know, type of gross on it, and that it works for both parties so that it's a fair deal competitive with everything else that's out there, right? Oh, well, according to all this information that you've supplied me, here's your answer. And it spits out a worksheet, take it to the customer. Hey, Mr. Customer, here's your trade. Here's what we're charging for ours. Looks like we're discounting a little bit because it's overaged, or you know, I've got multiples of these in the back warehouse, or my competitor's got a couple of these down the street. Boom, here's your deal, right? You can almost do that as a desk manager too, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, 100%. Because as the desk manager, you have all the information you need. You know your cost, you know the profit you want to make, you know what the person's approved for, you know how much down payment you want to get out of them or how much you know they have. And using ChatGPT to build your menu before you even go out, it's having an expert in your pocket. and that would immediately give you the upper hand. Now, I do like the idea of using it for inventory management of how fantastic would it be. And I'm sure somebody, and if they're not already working on this, somebody needs to be working on this, of how fantastic would it be is instead of just having a list of your inventory and your cost and its age, you had it compartmentalized to, okay, this is all of your inventory that's going to make you your most money. This is your hot inventory. This is your don't discount inventory. Here's your middle of the road, like B inventory. Here's this and that, and your C inventory that's like, hey, discount this, get it out of here. If somebody's interested in it, tell them they're the greatest thing in the world and give them a smoking deal and get it out of here. And yeah, you had that report at your fingertips every single day that you knew exactly what, and not just you as the sales manager, but as a salesperson of, oh, okay, like, here's what I can move, and attach spiffs and incentives to certain inventory, especially that middle of the road inventory, right? Of let's get this out of here. And also having, you know, I'm a huge believer in the Moto Hunt and being able to see your average list prices with your book values, with your clean trade-in, with your rough trade-in, with your MPA. I have as many pieces of information as possible, but it can get a little overwhelming as you're trying to look at that at each individual unit. Well, what if you just had that automatically implemented to all of your inventory right out the gate, and you could instantly see a batch of your inventory that is looking a little sketchy? It's like, oh, that there's no margin to be made there. Like, it's just not going to happen no matter how, so let's get this gone, and that you can make the move quickly. So then you can better revolve that capital into inventory you're going to be able to get those better dollar figures on.
And just to piggyback off of that, putting a couple more points in there. If it's new inventory, you've got your flooring in there. Mm-hmm. So you know what types of, you know, interest charges you're getting on a per unit. And you can say, hey, maybe I got the first 3 months free, interest-free on this batch of, you know, whatever models that came in. And I've got 10 more days to sell through half of these things before the interest starts racking up, right? Before I start getting charged and paying flooring on it. Oh man. And you can bring in all of your sales history and say, you've sold the most of these. So when it comes time to order on the next round, on the next model year, you better over order some of these because you sold out of everything in the first, you know, couple months of receiving it. It can do a lot of damage in the industry, speed up a lot of things. And I say damage in a good way, meaning that, you know, like Moto Hunt, the limitations are is that dealers still feel very gut checked by it, right? You got these veterans, and there's nothing wrong with it, but some of them are just veterans of 20, 30 years, and they've been buying bikes and they've been, you know, putting their number on bikes, and oh man, I know this bike. I know this thing is going to sell real good. You know, oh, it's, I can get, you know, top dollar for it, and I'm going to hold it for all the juice, right? I'm going to make a 3-pounder on this bike alone. Well, those days are kind of going by the wayside because all these other data points are now available to your competitors. And if you're not utilizing them, you'll be that guy that we talked about in the beginning of this podcast that doesn't know how to use a computer or the internet or Google or write an email or use a spreadsheet, you know, all these other things. And they're cavemen at this point. They're Neanderthals. How are you not going to utilize these data points within your daily process to help make these decisions that you still push the button to say yes or no on, but now you've got, you know, 100 different things telling you what the best decision to make is. And all you have to say is yes or no, right?
And accept that that's freeing up a lot of your mental capacity to focus on other things. Totally. I think that's the biggest thing is you got to be able to put your ego aside and let it go, that you don't have to be the one that knows these answers. You can use these tools and it's not going to devalue you. You still have value. There's still things that you're going to need to know how to do. You're still going to know what are the hottest bikes. You're still going to have a level of intuition when making these decisions, right? It's not like you just spit out this report and be like, oh, the AI said this is this, just like at the menu building. If you shoot in all those metrics to build your menu before you go out to close and it shoots you something that doesn't quite sit with you, don't just still go do it, like modify it. That's the beauty of it, is it's just a tool. It's just a help. And make the modifications and go with it. But you just saved hours of time. You've saved so much mental capacity that you can now spend on other things.
It is for sure develop a new skill set. I don't know what your junior high was like, but in mine, they had a home economics class. I doubt that they still have that anymore. But I learned how to type in seventh grade. And I thank my lucky stars every day for taking that typing class.
Yeah.
Because even now, you know, I'm 40 years old now, I still meet with people and talk to people and interact with people that still use the two finger method.
And hunt and peck.
And that and that right there is just, it's a stupid analogy, but it's a valid one, because I learned how to develop a typing skill very early on that has made me so much more efficient than my other counterparts who take, you know, 10 minutes. And yes, it's only 10 minutes, but they take 10 minutes to write an email or a couple paragraphs, where it takes me less than half the time because I can do it, you know, with all my fingers and not even look at the keyboard, right? So maybe this is just an evolution of developing skills like that, as silly as that analogy was, but you kind of have to learn to use it or work with it to be more efficient in the job that you are, to your point, not devaluing you, but almost making you more valuable because you know what to use and how to use these skills.
Absolutely. I don't think that's a silly analogy at all. I think that's really spot on, because that is kind of what it is. And yeah, if you're a slow typer, does that make you a bad sales manager? No, God, no. That doesn't really have anything to do with it. But does it mean it takes you a lot longer to send an email? Does it mean you don't get to send as many emails? Does that mean you maybe don't respond to things as quickly because it takes you so long to send those emails? That's true. Whereas somebody who is maybe a lesser sales manager or even lesser skilled or experienced than you, because they can type faster, may be able to get a lot more done in a day, as silly as that sounds. So something like this, I think, absolutely falls into that same category of it's an additional value add to yourself. All AI is, to me, is another tool that's making humans smarter, just like Google. It made you smarter. It was so much harder to dig up information and learn about something when we didn't have the internet, when we didn't have search. Now, you name something, anything, you can learn about it. You can learn as much about it as you want. You may have to maybe do a little bit of investment. You still have to do the time. You still have to learn it, but you have access to it. And this is just another one of those skills of get familiar with it. Learn it, because it won't take long for you to be head to head with somebody that does know how and is using it. And they're going to run circles around the people that don't. And they're going to make a better, easier, smoother customer experience because of it.
100%. Let's talk about our friends in the back of the house now, right? We can't leave out our homies in the service department.
Yeah.
How do you think AI will help them, affect their jobs, service advisors, service managers, service technicians? What's your thought on that?
Man, I haven't thought that much about it yet, but I would imagine being in service, the first thing I would want to use it for, and that I think needs to be used for pretty right out the gate, is standardizing labor times, standardizing an accessory catalog. You know how beautiful it would be to just scan in your accessory catalog and then scan in your flat rate manual, combine them together and be like, hey, take all of this information and give me basically a service manager pro for this exact accessory catalog. So now I can quote appropriately and modify appropriately of, hey, I want you to give me standard repairs for this entire accessory catalog and increase by 1.6. Great. Done. You know how much work that is? That can be accomplished in probably like a couple hours using AI.
I love it. What about what about diagnostics and repairing maybe some troubled repairs, right? And I'm saying that because, you know, a technician works through a typical process called elimination, right? So they check thing A, that's not it. They move to thing B. They check and measure thing B, that's not it. They move to thing C. I've got a little issue. Let's now go down the rabbit hole of thing C, right? So it's a process of eliminating what the issue could be with whatever's happening. You know, it's not running right. It's got an electrical issue. The computer's not, doing something, whatever it is, right? How do you think AI can help with a technician's efficiency? Because that's all technicians are, is they're always striving to be more efficient so that they can make more money by spending less time repairing it, because that's where the experience comes in. How does AI fit into that with the technicians repairing our customers' bikes?
God, I kind of can't help but think that it's going to be another one of those differentiators between a technician that uses it and a technician that doesn't. Because just like as you service, right, you try to get as much detail to your technician as possible to expedite your technician's diagnostic time. Well, let's add another layer of that now. And okay, the service writer is getting as much information from the customer to relay to the technician. And now that technician is going to do his due diligence to get more information off the unit and then plug that information into AI of, hey, here's my situation. Here's what I got going on. What do you think? Like, what could this possibly be? Even if it's so much as just a point of direction, right? Of, well, have you tested the fuel system, or have you tested? I found somewhere on the internet that this could be a common issue. Like, have you tested this sensor? Oh, no, I haven't. That's great. And just, it eliminates so much of the dirty work, right? Of having to go through and dig around, call support, wait on hold with support for who knows how long, update a ticket. That ticket doesn't get responded to right away, or gets responded back to with another redundant question. So then you're just in this constant, like, back and forth question machine. Whereas if you just try to get as much information as possible and plug it into that ChatGPT, and again, using appropriate prompts, right? Which a technician's going to know what that is, though, right? I'm not saying that this is something that any old person could go and diagnose their machine in their garage. I'm saying a technician is going to know what questions to ask this thing to say, hey, this bike isn't starting. The battery's testing good. All the electrical's testing good. What else could be going on? And then it's going to be able to give them direction on where to go next and specifying what unit that is. I think could be huge, huge in assisting with the diagnostic process. And also, again, back on the service writer process of, hey, this is what this bike is here for. This is what I found going on with it. What is something I can pitch to this person, or what is a beautiful form, especially if you teach ChatGPT, like what YMCA is, like, hey, what is this full YMCA for this person that just brought in a 2022 Razor 1000 XP is here for a service? What are some things that you would suggest for it? And it just boop, spits it out for you.
All right. So we've got YMCA, we've got the advisors that are on the upsell. So maybe let's recap, right? What did we learn today? AI has taken over the world. There's no stopping it. What we discussed is many different dealership positions, and maybe how they can help supplement some of the employees' functions or speed up their efficiencies, all the way from customer service when, you know, a customer has a question, or they engage with a salesperson on the website. Maybe they're engaging with an AI model first, asking them questions, answering questions, and it helps to kind of filter up to the, you know, to the actual human. This person is now ready to take the next step and look into the financials, right? They can kind of desk their own deal, if you will. If you give the AI some parameters to say, you've got your bike chosen, you've got your trade, payoff, payments, rate, term, here's the deal, right? Sales manager signs off on it. We've talked about inventory management, how you can look at your aged inventory and your wholesale and have your book values and maybe where other sales history is put into that model as well, and say, you've sold six of these, you need to order seven on the next model year round. We talked about parts and accessories, where you can do your accessory guides and labor times into one and not have to do these weird motorcycle math equations to figure out a quote for a customer to install a set of handlebars or a light bar. We talked about the technician and how this could help with their diagnostics or communicating service advisors, relayed information from what the customer said is wrong with the bike, and the technician can help speed up their efficiency, make them more money. And then obviously the cherry on the top is the operator. How can an operator look at all of these positions in all of these departments and use AI in almost every single one of them to get better marketing, to sell more parts, to have better happy customers in sales, to not have comebacks on the service department, and increase the revenue overall for all these departments so that they can make more money and they can have a happier customer base. I mean, I think we learned a lot today and went over some very, very realistic scenarios of how AI can help supplement a lot of these roles. What's your final words on that?
Man, if you didn't hear any of that and think that you need to get ChatGPT or get an AI program in your life in power sports immediately, I don't know what else to tell you to get you to do that. That's my takeaway from it for sure. I mean, I even got a bunch of ideas just talking to you about it. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think to do that. Oh, that's a great idea. Of how quickly that it implements. And that is the scary truth of it, is it's ingraining itself into what we're doing rapidly. So get about it, even if it's a little bit, even if it's just playing around with it, you know, and encouraging people on your team to play with it. You know, maybe it's something that you just invest in it as a business owner, be like, hey, everybody jump on this. Like, maybe not make it an implemented forced thing, but a, hey, try it out, see what you think. Maybe some people will get about it and some people won't, but I think you'll start to notice a performance increase in the people that are about it in some facet. Because as you just mentioned, there isn't a department that can't benefit from it.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why the Dealership Fix It exists, is to talk about these things openly, right or wrong. We may sound very smart to some and we may sound very foolish to others, but we're openly talking about these different scenarios of how these dealership people, personnel, staff members can utilize some of these ideas and programs, and in this case on this podcast, AI, to help them in their job functions much better. So I very much appreciate that we're able to do this in this type of medium and disseminate this information to the masses, and hopefully they find little nuggets out of it. Hopefully it's not all terrible for the 10 people listening in their mother's basement.
Yeah, but, I hope they don't think Skynet is going to take over their life. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's not, but right now we don't have to worry about it yet.
You know, maybe Skynet is listening to this, and you know, they're going to help us promote this a little bit further with the AI. So
yeah, they're going to be like, they're on our side.
We are friends of AI.
Yes, we're advocates of the AI.
Okay, well, I think that does it for today's episode. It's a pretty good one. A lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas on this one. Anything else to add before we call it a day?
No, I think that's a wrap for me on this end. Yeah, what a great conversation, great ideas. And man, I kind of can't wait to implement some of this stuff myself and try it out.
Let's do it. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Check us out on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you may find us on your favorite podcast listening device. We're also on YouTube, we're on TikTok, we're on all the social media channels. You'll see Angel's beautiful face, my ugly face, talking about all sorts of different dealership aspects in life. And we're here to supply ideas and help make the dealership life just a little bit better for the people working in and outside of it. So thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.